Good morning, and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida, a live medical call-in talk show that enables you to interact with our guests and our host. If you have any questions or comments along the way, we would love to have you call us. The phone lines are now open at 941-206-1580 or toll-free 888-441-1580. And now here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Todd. Good morning, everyone. We have a guest today, which I'm going to introduce in 1 second. Okay. First of all, I want to thank, last week was a great show, too. I want to thank Dr. Skip Valenti. If you go to Facebook, you could see our picture there doing the show. Also with Jen. And Jen, we're all saying a big prayer that you have a beautiful and healthy baby. Mm-hmm. God bless. And Dr. Valenti had such a good time. He said he'd like to come back with his partner, Dr. Ball, from Southwest Florida Pain Center.
Terrific.
So this is really great. So today we have a very nice guest, Dr. Corey Gerwood from Coastal Chiropractic. Dr. Gerwood is a chiropractor, so much interest and energy. I tell you, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on the show today. Pleasure to be here.
It's such a welcome to have. I tell you, we're all so lucky to have such wonderful guests here in Charlotte County that come on the show and are willing to give of their time, their expertise. So if you have a question, remember, you could call us at 206-1580. So, Dr. Corey.
Yes.
All right. Gerwood. Where are you located?
We are located right in Murdoch Circle, 18350 Murdoch Circle. We're in Suite 103, but that's only a short-term location for now. We've actually outgrown that location, and we're moving to a new location right off of Cochrane on the corner of Cochrane and Lakeview, right over at the light there. We're going to be moving sometime early next year. But we've been in that location for about 5 years now. I work with my colleague, Dr. Matthew DePhillips.
Okay.
He is a Port Charlotte native, went to Port Charlotte High School, graduated from there. He's a pirate. Went to the Marines, went to school out in Atlanta, went out to California, and now he's back in the area, and he's been here for about 5 years total in the practice that we're in right now. I've been there for roughly a year, and I look forward to moving to the new practice and continue to grow as we have thus far. So
that is so exciting, a move and getting all that together. By the way, I'm a Charlotte High School graduate.
Oh, boy.
But I have to tell you, when I went to Charlotte High School, that was the only high school in the whole county.
So, I got to tell you, I'm kind of, like I said, I've only been here for about a year, but I do a lot of work with the Pirate football team.
Oh,
and
great.
I didn't realize how big of a rivalry that was until I actually started working with them. Actually, my first day when I started working with them, the coaches said, if you even work with Charlotte football at all, don't even bother coming back because we don't want you here. So I'm sure they were joking, but yeah, it's a fun rivalry.
Oh my. Yes. Well, as I said, when I was in high school, we were the only act in town, the only high school.
Things changed.
Well, the county grew tremendously. I remember when Peace River Elementary School was the only elementary school.
Yeah. Now how many of them there? There's a lot of elementary, a lot of schools in the area. Pretty big town.
Well, one of the wonderful things about having guests on the show, one of my missions is to let people know, who are you? Where are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from Michigan, believe it or not. Go Blue.
Okay.
I grew up just south of Ann Arbor. I was born just south of Detroit. Grew up in a small country town just south of Ann Arbor, Tecumseh, Michigan. Graduated from Tecumseh High School and went to do my undergraduate school in Detroit, actually for dental. Originally, was what I was going to school for.
Oh, boy.
I wanted to go in orthodontics. My uncle was an orthodontist. And I started job shadowing everything when I was in my undergrad and realized that really dental wasn't where I wanted to be. I wasn't happy with what I saw when I went to the offices. And just it wasn't something I wanted to do long term. So I started looking into other medical professions. I knew I wanted to be in medicine of some sort. And I learned really quick that I had a pretty weak stomach. So that kind of limited my field as to what I could go into. So I started thinking back about experiences I've had in my lifetime, and I actually had a really good chiropractor when I was growing up.
In Michigan,
In Tecumseh, I had a really good chiropractor who had helped me with a shoulder injury. I was a swimmer growing up, and I had a pretty bad rotator cuff injury. It wasn't quite bad enough to do surgery, so I was doing the steroid shots, and at the time, that's about all I knew. So I was doing steroid shots, and it helped, but I just couldn't see long-term how... I just didn't want to keep doing the shots and doing the shots. So I went and saw the chiropractor, and he kind of gave me some exercises, and he says, look, the shots are going to help for now. He says, but long-term, they're not what you want to go. They're not the way you want to go to actually keep your shoulder healthy. So he gave me a lot of exercises. He did some manipulations to my shoulder, and within a month, I was doing a lot better. He got me back in the pool, and it was just a good overall experience, and that really sparked my interest. And so I went and started shadowing. This is, again, back in undergraduate, I started shadowing chiropractors and physical therapists and optometrists and ophthalmologists, and because I knew I wanted to be in healthcare of some sort, but I had a weak stomach, so I didn't want to go to medical school. I didn't want to do that whole route. I didn't want to go to dental school, so I decided to go chiropractic because I really liked what I saw when I went to the office. I felt that every office I went into, the chiropractor was always happy to be there. The patients were always happy. It was just a light environment, and I knew that that's what I wanted to be involved in long term. So that's when I made the decision to go to Palmer. Actually, I'm a Palmer graduate, but I went to Palmer in Daytona, Florida. So
Daytona Beach.
Yep. So after I graduated from undergrad, I went to Daytona, and in part to be closer to my family because my family actually moved down here when I was in undergrad, and into the Port Charlotte area. And
your family lives here in Port Charlotte.
They live in Northport, work in Port Charlotte, but yeah, the greater Port Charlotte
County.
Yeah. So I went to school in Daytona, did my internship over here at Port Charlotte, or in Port Charlotte with the office I'm at currently, and that ended up turning into a job, and here I am.
Well, that's great. That's really great. You know, I think that shadowing is so important for young people.
It really is.
I do. I have high school students who shadow with me, and I also have PA students who rotate with me, their family practice rotation from Nova Southeastern University.
That's awesome. And it helps them get a better understanding of what they want to go into, what type of practice they'd want to work at.
I think it's so important as we have more knowledge and experience to share with younger people and to give them, say, hey, you know, if this is what you're interested in, follow your dream. That's
Absolutely.
What I always
Absolutely.
Say.
As long as you're happy doing what you're doing, everybody's heard this a million times, you're never going to work a day in your life.
It's true. You know that? If you love what you do. Now, the other night I saw a commercial on TV, and they're saying, well, when you retire, you get to do what you love. I'm like, wait a minute. I love what I do now.
Right.
I never want to retire.
Most people get retired and they get bored.
I love what I do, and I love taking care of my patients, and I really enjoy doing the radio program. I mean, I never want to retire.
And you're good at it, so don't.
Oh, thanks. It's really fun. So that's really good. That's what sparked you to go ahead and to become a chiropractor then, because you've been an athlete all your life?
Yes, I've been an athlete. I played three sports in high school. I played football, I was a swimmer, and I played lacrosse. And I went on to play lacrosse for about a year in undergraduate. And I actually played for a club team at a different school than what I went to in Adrian. And after I quit lacrosse, I mean, I quit after my first year. So I played a year of college athletics, but I still try to stay active now. I still try to go to the gym regularly, keep myself pretty healthy. So yeah, generally, you could say I was an athlete.
Well, that's good. That's very good. So could you talk to us about, tell us something about the theory behind chiropractic treatment and maybe a little bit about the history of chiropractic.
Well, here's the thing about chiropractic. It's a fairly young profession. We just had, I think, our 80th or 100th anniversary here within the last month. It was one of those two. I can't remember exactly which one, but people are going to kill me for not knowing that. But overall, it's a fairly young profession. So our ideals and our philosophies and our research is still up and coming. So the originators of chiropractic were D.D. and B.J. Palmer, which were the original founders of the Palmer College of Chiropractic now. And their ideal was that there was a close interrelationship between the spinal column and the nervous system. That's about all they knew at that time.
Okay.
They knew that they had done some adjustments and made some life-changing events in people. The first adjustment was actually done on a man named Harvey Lillard, and he was a janitor who was deaf. And there's some skepticism as to where he was actually adjusted and how he was adjusted, but basically he was adjusted and he could hear again after that. And that's really what sparked the origination of chiropractic. And they knew that there was some relationship between the spine and manipulating the spine and overall health. So they
and
basically,
where did this start? Where was this?
Davenport, Iowa.
Iowa, where this started, okay. Yep.
And that's where.
And it was a husband and wife team?
No. Dee Dee was actually Daniel David Palmer.
Oh,
and his son was BJ, which is Bartlett something.
Oh, Palmer. Okay.
But that was his son. And they actually didn't get along. There's some history that goes on between those two. Actually, BJ at one point tried to run over his dad. But there's a lot of stories between that.
Little drama, family
yeah,
drama.
Yeah, little family
there.
Drama there. And. But yeah, that's where chiropractic started. And so over the years, it's evolved, and it's really started, it went from more of a philosophy to now being more scientific, because we're starting to get more research behind chiropractic and what we actually do when we manipulate. And we're starting to bring in more things besides just spinal manipulation, because we've learned over the years that spinal manipulation by itself is not enough. Okay, if somebody comes in with back pain and we manipulate them, yes, we can short-term correct the back pain, but unless we make lifestyle changes and bring in muscle changes and start to work basically with muscles and strengthening and doing certain stabilization things to actually hold what we're doing, we're not doing the patient any justice at all. So that's kind of what chiropractic is turning into more on my philosophy. And I'm a fairly new grad. I've been practicing for about a year, and my undergraduate degree is in biochemistry. So I've always been very I've always been very into science, and everything I do is very scientific based. So I'm doing a lot of research on what actually goes on when we manipulate people.
Well, hold that note. It looks like we have a caller. Hello, caller. Thank you for calling. What's your question, caller?
Perhaps somebody dialed the wrong number.
Wrong number?
It happens from time to time. That's live radio. And if not, then they're certainly welcome to call back, and we'll try it again.
Thank you. Anyways, go ahead. Where was I? you were about the spine and more, and you're a biochemistry major.
I'm a biochemistry major, yes, I am. So back to where I was talking about, chiropractic, again, it started as more of a philosophy, and it's evolved into more of a scientific approach as to...
Hello, another caller there.
Hello, I just want to say I like the show, and Dr. Goodwood treated my husband, and he's been a life changer.
Oh, my wow. goodness.
Oh,
thank
great.
You.
I'm glad he's doing very well. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome, and thank you, and God bless.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Boy, that's great testimonial. Thank you so much, caller.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice.
So, yeah, thank you again so much for calling in. That's great, and I wish your husband the best of wishes. And again, yeah, like I said before, chiropractic more was a philosophy, and it's a fairly young profession, and it's based now around taking more of a holistic approach to the body. Not so much treating symptoms, but understanding why are the symptoms there? Why do patients come in with these symptoms? What sort of things can we do not only to correct their symptoms, but to ensure that they don't come back, to make lifestyle changes through nutrition, through emotional stresses, through physical stresses, because those are the three main stresses that basically lead to all disease. I think the Center for Disease Control said 80% of diseases nowadays are based off of a stress of some sort. So either a chemical stress, an emotional stress, or a physical stress. So what we do as chiropractic is we take a holistic approach to the body. Say a patient comes in with low back pain, and maybe it's coming from a disc, maybe it's coming from a joint. We obviously determine that through an extensive exam. We usually spend about an hour with every patient to figure out what's going on, and we use imaging if necessary. But we're not only going to fix the back pain or try to treat the back pain and make sure they feel better, but we're gonna take a holistic approach to the body and try to look at them as a whole and say, okay, how is your diet? What do you do for a living? What are you doing that repetitively is irritating this area? How's your water intake? That's those sort of things. In basically breaking everything down and saying, okay, this is what your problem is, but where did it come from? And why is it here? And what can we do to make sure that it doesn't come back in the future?
I think that's very important. Even 2,000 years ago, Sanskrit, medicine, they said that most of the diseases actually we give to ourselves.
Absolutely, absolutely.
A lot of diseases we do. And I mean, and we know that understanding what is causing the problem with the patient. And I agree, you have to look at the total patient.
Absolutely.
So in your practice, you said you spend an hour with a patient, you go through everything.
Every patient that walks through the door, whatever their problem is, we're going to come in, we're going to sit down and spend an hour with them, and we're going to get a very good diagnosis as to what is going on. We try not to cut any corners when it comes to diagnosing what the issue is, because it definitely makes it a big difference in how we treat the issue. So we spend a lot of time with our exam. Usually with chiropractic visits, after the first visit, it doesn't take a long time, because after we know what's going on, we know pretty much how to treat it. So we just do a quick routine exam when a patient comes in after that. But on the first visit, we spend a lot of time to make sure we fully understand what's going on with the patient, what their lifestyle is, what are they eating, what are they doing, what do they do for a living, what have they done in the past, have they had incidents, accidents, things like that. So we fully understand where they're coming from as a whole. So we find that it really helps with our patient care and our success.
I've always say that the patients, when they come in, they're my book. Says, I'm reading. You're my book for today. I'm reading.
Absolutely.
The patient tells it all.
And that's what makes healthcare so fun, is it's you're helping people, but it's a puzzle. Every time they come in, it's like, okay, where is this coming from? And it's the same thing with the field that you're in as well. Why do you have this issue? Where is it coming from? What can we do to fix this together?
But and then you have someone who calls you, like this nice lady, and say thank you. You know,
that's what makes everything worth it.
Here's another caller. Thank you, caller. What's up?
Well, I'm just wondering, when I hear you talking about spending an hour or two with patients, you know, talking about things, but don't usually a chiropractor generally take an X-ray?
That's different between every chiropractor. I very rarely touch a patient, obviously unless they're pregnant or if they're young and I feel unnecessary, without shooting an X-ray. Just because I feel myself that it helps me that much more to understand what I'm working with, because as good as my skills are with palpating the spine and feeling how things move, I never know exactly what they look like. I can't see degeneration. I can feel it to some extent, but it's always better for me to see where things are happening. So it better helps me better treating the patient. And not only with that, it helps me make sure that when I treat the patient, I'm not going to hurt them if there's something else there.
Thank you, caller. Does that answer your question?
Well, it does, except that the times I had with a chiropractor, I don't go too often. I think in the last 20 or 30 years, I just had it twice, Dr. Von Einstein and Von Arsdale. And each one of them, I just went there, and they took an X-ray. It worked. It said, hey, if you need some work, come on back. Otherwise, you're done. And they both of them took X-rays, and I have one. They corrected me in one session right away, and so that's why I'm wondering why X-rays wouldn't really help.
You were wondering if it was necessary.
I know, not every time, maybe, but I usually, when I went in, I was maybe kind of walking crossways a little bit, and the wife says, "Hey, you got to go to the chiropractor." And I had a situation that when I never hurt my back except at one time, and I drop a piece of paper and pick it up. It isn't from weights. And so I just said, and I don't know if this is certain, but my brother-in-law says, his chiropractor says, get going and drink, eat a lot of C's, get a lot of C vitamins, and it'll help. So anyway, that was it. So
well,
thank you very much.
It's
a good program.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you very much. We have another caller
yes,
here.
Yes, we do. Hi, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This may be a little off the beaten, what you're talking about, but I thought I'd throw it out anyway. Last night, as I was laying in bed dead asleep, I got a tremendous leg cramp in the back of my calf. I mean, it knocked me literally out of bed. And I've heard different things, different mineral shortages cause that. Is there anything you could tell me that may help give me a heads up on what's causing it? Because it was very painful.
Thank you, caller. I appreciate the call. As you know, you're calling the slippery slope of lipids and other medical issues. This is Dr. Corey Gerwood, and I'm Dr. Elizabeth Triana. And I know that Dr. Corey, being a biochemistry major, has a great interest in supplements, too, and nutrition. So talk to us.
I want to sit here and be all ears, too, because I have this problem on occasion.
You have
myself.
The same problem happen?
Absolutely.
Thank you, caller.
Well, when you start to think about issues that you have in your legs at night, especially if it's unilateral, there's a couple things you have to think about. First, from a medical standpoint, obviously deep vein thrombosis, things like that can happen in one leg. I'm not saying that by any means that that's what's going on, but you have to make sure that you consider those things. And then you have to think about, what do you do for a living? Are you outside sweating all day? Are you depleting all your electrolytes? Are you depleting your potassium, your magnesium, that sort of thing, your sodium? And are you replenishing it? Are you hydrated? Because definitely if you lay in bed at night and you get your leg in the wrong position, or you start to contract a muscle in a certain position, you can get cramps. Another thing it relates to the same aspect, but kind of in a different way. When you lay down in bed at night and you're away from gravity, that's when your discs and your spine actually hydrate themselves. Most people don't know this, but actually when you wake up in the morning, you're slightly taller than you are when you go to sleep at the end of the day. Not by much. We're talking millimeters here, but you're a little bit taller because of your discs hydrating themselves, because they're off gravity. You don't have the constant weight or axial compression, or basically stress going right down through the spine, that you have all day when you're standing. So when you lay down at night, that's when your discs start to hydrate themselves. And as they do that, if you can think of like a water balloon filling up, they just fill up ever so slightly. So if you have any sort of disc irritation, at night is when you're going to feel it. So you're going to have the disc irritation, the swelling, and that's why when people wake up in the morning, they're often stiff, and they feel like they can't move. And as they get up and walk around a little bit, they start to loosen up. That's one of the main culprits. So again, there's a lot of different things that can play into that cramp. And that's why I said, when a patient comes in with a leg cramp symptom, we fully diagnose, okay, what is your lifestyle? What do you do from day to day? How is your diet? Are you eating right? Is it a mineral deficiency? Is it something to do with the nervous system? Is it just, you know, you're not hydrated? Because there's a lot of things that can play into that.
And I also would like to add, too, certain medications can cause cramping in
absolutely,
legs.
Absolutely,
Also, peripheral arterial disease, what people commonly called poor circulation. If you're not getting enough blood to your muscles, then also that will cause leg cramping.
Absolutely.
We need people to look at that. As a lipidologist, I also check anyone who has risk factors for arterial disease. We do a test called an ABI, a blood pressure in the arm and legs. And if we see a major difference, then we can further investigate to see if there's plaque buildup in the arteries.
Absolutely.
That's also very important. What are the risk factors for peripheral arterial disease? Smoking, diabetes, elevated cholesterol, sedentary lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
We all have to look at that. But I think what we're going to do is take our little break. I have so many more questions to ask Dr. Corey Gerwood from Coastal Chiropractic. We'll take our break.
You are listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. We are a live medical call-in talk show, and the phone lines are currently open for your questions and comments. We'll give the phone numbers out again in just a moment. I'd like to take a moment to encourage you to visit the Triana Prevention Center website, which has recently been revamped and is easier to navigate. And there's also an archive of all the previous radio programs, so you can go right back to the beginning and listen to programs on a variety of different topics. That's TrianaPreventionCenter.com, TRIANA Prevention Center, all one word, .com. If you'd like to call in and join this conversation, our numbers are 206-1580, that's 941-206-1580, or 888-441-1580. Now let's go back to your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana, and I'll say, just following up on the conversation, in my case, 100% of the time the leg cramp follows me doing some grueling yard work and sweating up a storm or something like that, and I should be doing something to rehydrate myself, and I don't think about it.
You're just not doing it. Yep.
Yeah. My wife is always saying, get some Gatorade or something, and I'm not even sure what it's best to take, but something anyway.
Honestly, if you really want to talk about hydration, the best thing that you can use to hydrate naturally is a coconut water because it replenishes your electrolytes, and it's very low in natural sugars, and what sugars you do get are natural, so it's good for you. Many people and some other physicians are going to get on me about this, but a good thing to actually hydrate you every now and then actually is a Gatorade. Mm-hmm. I know it's loaded in sugar, but I'm talking Gatorade that you don't mix with water, just a regular Gatorade.
Right.
Because if you look at the research behind the actual development of Gatorade, why it's so expensive and why there's so much extensive research on it, it actually has the same osmolarity as your blood. Mm. So your kidneys don't filter it. So if you can chug a bunch of Gatorade, a 32-ounce Gatorade, which you're going to get a lot of sugar, and I understand if you're diabetic, I'm by no means, like, don't get on me about this if you're another physician, but your kidneys won't filter it. So that's why it's good for you to drink a Gatorade post-physical activity or every now and then. I'm not talking do this every day.
Right.
But if, say, you are mowing the yard, that will hydrate you fairly quickly, but it's not as good as a coconut water or just regular water.
Well, I'm a University of Florida alum, so it's not a hard sales pitch on me anyway.
I was going to say, so we have another caller there.
Yes,
hello,
we do.
Caller.
Hi.
Hello.
I've been here a long time in this town, and one of the first chiropractors was Dr. Saunders, and he boasted that he did the Palmer method only. What is that?
Thank you, caller. I appreciate that.
Every school, they kind of try to say they have their own method. The Palmer method is basically three or four different techniques that they kind of combine together to allow their graduates to make the appropriate adjustment and diagnosis of every patient when they come in. And their approach is basically from the top down. And now this varies from every chiropractic physician and varies from every school and varies basically from every person's ideals on healthcare, and it, the same way in any other doctor does. I mean, everybody's opinion is a little bit different, but a Palmer method is a certain techniques, which there's Gonsa technique, there's diversified technique, there's Thompson technique, there's toggle technique, and we learn all those, and they're all put together to make sure that we have the appropriate tools, if you will, in our tool belt to treat anything that comes through the door. So that's basically the Palmer method or the Palmer technique is just the way that a Palmer graduate sees a patient and calls on his skills to treat that patient appropriately.
Thank you, caller. I really appreciate the call. And I just want to let everybody know, again, that we have Dr. Corey Gerwood. Do you have a website?
We do. Our website is www.mycoastalchiro.com. That's mycoastalchiro.com. And our office name is Coastal Chiropractic, so that's where the coastal comes from.
Okay, great. And I know you said you're moving the beginning of next year?
Early, probably first quarter or early into the second quarter of next year. We're looking to move off of the corner of Cochrane and Lakeview. We just outgrew where we are right now, and which is a good problem to have. So we're gonna move over there and hopefully keep growing.
That is wonderful. That's, well, we're really enjoying, and we want to thank our callers. You know, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana, and we're here to answer your questions. We have a great guest today. So you were talking about chiropractic care. Is it, we have another caller. That's wonderful. Hello, caller.
Well, I am another fan/patient of this coastal, and you might want to ask them, why they call it coastal, because that's kind of funny, not funny, but interesting, too. I just happened to hear the latter part. I thought it was a familiar voice.
Yep.
And I wanted to say that, you know, I went in completely doubled up, and 3 weeks later, and ever since, I've been walking straight and tall.
Well, that's
so
great.
We highly recommend this fella.
Thank you so much. we actually call it Coastal Chiropractic because my colleague was a big surfer. He went to school out in San Jose.
Oh.
And, he got into surfing out there, and he's always been in surfing. So basically, I think he was out in these storms a few days ago, out surfing actually, because it's the best surf between patients. He's on the internet looking at when the waves are going to be good. But he's a big surfer, and actually we have kind of a surf theme in our office. So yeah, that's why we call it coastal.
I see.
I had no playing in that. That's more of my colleague. He's a big time surfer, so that's where the coastal came from.
Well, thank you, caller, so much. Thank you for listening to our program.
Thank you.
Yes. That's really nice to hear.
Yep.
That's really nice. So my question was, are Your service is covered by insurance?
Most major medical insurances cover them. Obviously, everybody's plan's a little bit different. So I don't want to say just a blanket statement that
right. Yes.
But our time of service fees are definitely very reasonable. And again, everything varies with every patient. We take Medicare, Medicaid, and then most major medical insurances. So,
okay.
So that's, yes, it is covered.
That's great. That's great to hear. So give us a typical, what is the most common problem that walks through your door?
Most common problem that walks through our door is it's 50-50 between I have neck pain or I have back pain. It's one or the other, or okay. low back pain. And it's usually one of those two, because not a lot usually goes wrong in the thoracic spine or your middle back, because you have a rib cage that kind of holds everything together. But when it comes to your low back and your neck, the only thing holding that together is the soft tissue structures, the bony structure of your spine, and then the muscles that hold everything together. So if we do get issues, it's usually those that come in. We see a lot of patients who have bulging or herniated discs, and mm-hmm. we try to treat them as best we can. And if we cannot, we obviously make the appropriate referrals to the specialist when needed. But yeah, I would say that's mostly the ones that come in. Actually, a fun fact here, about 80% of every man and woman in the United States has some sort of disc bulge or derangement at any given time that is diagnosable by MRI. So if you shot an MRI on every yes. person in America, about 80% of them would have something discal related that you could find on an MRI.
But not all have symptoms.
45% are asymptomatic.
Right. Okay, yep. Caller, thank you for calling the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. What's your question, caller?
Well, hey guys, it's Jen Collins.
Oh, hey Jen.
Dr.
Valente's office. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh my gosh, it's so good. What? How's baby on board?
Baby on board is still in the belly, so I might go to trampoline class later to try to have it, but we'll see.
don't do it at the YMCA. They might think you're stealing yeah. basketballs.
Well, I just wanted to call in. I'm a patient of Dr. Gerwood's and suffered from migraines every day. Every day around 2 o'clock, like clockwork, they would come in.
Oh.
And finally, I actually met him at an event, and he said, you really need to come into the office. And I have been migraine-free ever since I went in there. So I just want to give a great shout-out to this physician. He's great.
Well, thank you, Jen.
Jen, thank you. And it was so – I want to thank you again for being a guest last week.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was really fun. So Dr. Ball's looking forward to it as well. So.
Okay, awesome. Great. Well, thank you. And I'm glad to hear that you're migraine-free. Wow, that's wonderful.
Yep, migraine-free. That's awesome.
Thank you, Jen.
Changer.
You're a life changer.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a life changer. He is.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
So that's really great.
That is great. And that's another thing, I guess, that I should have mentioned as headaches, is that we see a lot of headaches, especially during pregnancy. Do you have any kids yourself?
No, I don't have. I have furry children.
Furry children. Got a few pets.
I have miniature Dachshunds. Mm-hmm. Well, not one is not so miniature. I have my husband and I have three Dachshunds.
Three Dachshunds.
That's who funny. Are so spoiled. And we have a horse and we have chickens, which I want everybody to know I never eat my chickens because I'm an animal lover.
So you have the expensive pets.
Yeah.
But, yeah, again, I for all the listeners that have kids or are currently pregnant or have had kids, I'm sure they can relate that a lot of headaches and low back pain come along with that, because a lot of changes happen to the body that it's not always ready for. And those are some of the symptoms that come. So we do treat a lot of headaches and things like that in our office, and to pretty good success.
So exactly what, like, for example, what kind of treatment modality would you do?
Both of myself and Dr. DePhillips both do just hands-on manipulation, just a good old-fashioned adjustment. And the reason for that is my hands are what went to school. I mean, they're what learned to palpate spines. They're what's been touching people for years. And a lot of times, touching them is what actually is going to make them better. We don't do a lot of things at our office, like electrical stimulation, ultrasound, things of that sort. Although they do have scientific evidence that they do help, and we do know when and where to use them and where we can refer to if we do need to make that referral. Most of the time we just do good old fashioned hands-on manipulation along with exercises and physical therapy if needed, and neuromuscular reeducation if need be. So most of the things we do are pretty physical in nature, and then we do pretty hands-on manipulation as well.
We have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hey, good morning. I've got three questions for the doctor.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Number one, do you know my good buddy Bill Crispin?
Bill Crispin, the name sounds very familiar.
Crispin Chevrolet in Saline.
Saline, Michigan? That's
yeah.
Where I don't know him personally, but I definitely know of the Chevrolet.
Yeah. My medical questions are, do you have a nutritionist on staff, or do you determine what type of nutrition a patient might need?
We do not have a nutritionist on staff. We actually, through our schooling, do a lot of nutritional training, and Dr. DePhillips and I both stay up on nutrition pretty regularly. My nightly reading is a nutrition book and the body's metabolism of it. So we do a lot of nutritional information ourselves.
And what about a massage therapist?
We do not have a massage therapist on staff. We do have a few massage therapists that we refer to if need be. Not everybody.
Do you recommend the massage therapy along with chiropractic therapy?
It can be great. It can be great. Massage, obviously, like I was saying earlier, a lot of times muscles play in, or not a lot of times, every time muscles play into the role of what we do. We deal with the joint structures, but what moves joints? Muscles.
Okay.
So, yes, a lot of times it can be beneficial. I don't recommend just going to do a massage by yourself without speaking to the, I mean, unless you're just getting massages, that's good. But if you're going to do it in combination with chiropractic care, I would recommend talking to the chiropractor first. Let them know who your massage therapist is so they can, if you have scoliotic curvatures and things of that sort, they can kind of educate the massage therapist on where they should be massaging and certain things, where target areas, if you will.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. Thank you so much. So, could you explain what exactly does it mean by manipulation?
Manipulation is, I'm sure people have all heard, where we crack backs, right? People have heard that. We crack backs. We'll just get it out there.
Very simplistic.
Very simplistic. Manipulation is just another word for that. It's because in our minds, or in scientifically, it's not just a crack. The actual manipulation that you hear is an exchange of the pressures within a joint capsule and on the outside of a joint capsule. It's the equaling out. Much of you take like one of those thimbles and stick it
down
on the
table. So it actually makes the cracking noise.
It does. And that's a good thing. And a lot of good comes from it. You get a lot of stimulation of mechanoreceptors, which are motion receptors in your spine. Mechanoreceptors inhibit pain receptors, which are nociceptors in your spine. So there's a lot of times of the closing of the pain gate just from a manipulation. So that's why a lot of times after an adjustment, patients immediately feel better.
Right.
But not only does it do that, but it actually, When your body has a joint that's irritated or fixated or subluxated, if you will, if there's any chiropractors listening, your body doesn't like that to happen. So what it does naturally is it tries to protect the area by tightening down the muscles. Again, back to the muscles, massage therapy, that sort of thing. When you manipulate a spine, you actually get the motion back in a joint that previously wasn't moving the way that it should. So if you do have some sort of disc irritation or have some sort of joint irritation, that will allow your body to naturally get the inflammation out of there to heal and to basically make its own corrections.
Okay.
I say many times as a chiropractor, I don't heal anything. All I find is where your body is having issues itself and then aid it in its own healing process.
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. So when you were talking about the manipulation then, you were saying one of the reasons you were interested in coming to Charlotte County is because arthritis and our aging population, which the population is aging, and Charlotte County has one of the highest over the age of 65 in the country.
Yes, it does. And I'm just going to put it out there. As you get older, you do start to get arthritis, osteoarthritis in general, not rheumatoid or psoriatic, but osteoarthritis, which is basically just degeneration. And it's your body laying down new bone in response to abnormal stresses. So through our Americans with poor posture and our daily jobs, I mean, we sit a lot. We go to school a lot. We just, our whole, are not that healthy as Americans. We do a lot of things that put awkward stresses on our body, which over the years builds up arthritis. And obviously, arthritis allows joints not to move as well. If you think about two pieces of sandpaper sliding on top of each other or two pieces of glass sliding on top of each other, the sandpaper is not going to slide as well, and that's your arthritic ones. So those joints do become fixated, and once you fixate a joint, studies show that they do start degenerating in as little as 2 weeks. The cascade of degeneration starts. So it's very important to keep joints moving, and as you age, they stick easier and easier, or fixate easier and easier.
Also, repetitive motion.
In our society,
repetitive motion. Talk to us about that.
We actually work work very closely with a lot of people who have repetitive jobs, in general, like post office workers or factory workers or things that drivers of any sort. They do a lot of repetitive motions, a lot of twisting, a lot of things like
computers.
That. Computers, they sit all day. There's just so many things, and just about everybody can break down what they do on a day-to-day basis. If you think about your job, at some point in your day, you're probably doing something that's not as conducive to your body as it should be. And I'm no different. I'm a chiropractor. I spend all day leaning over top of patients. So I have irritated low back, and I get treated regularly for it. But a lot of repetitive stresses in your lifetime can start to wear joints and start to break them down. And so making sure that they're healthy and they're moving the way that they should is very important to prevent long term injury. And again, it's not something that is short term. It's not the one time you hurt your back. It's the multiple times you hurt it, and the multiple times you keep picking things up, and
right.
The multiple times you do things inappropriately that over time start to wear your body down, and then you're dealing with them when you get to a certain age.
Now, I know that you personally have a great interest, diet and nutrition and exercise.
I do.
And so tell us, what are the supplements that you recommend to your patients? Are there any? Or talk to me about that.
Our supplements range, it varies from every patient individually. Like I said, when we spend the hour with the patient in the beginning, we break down their diet and their nutritional information and where they're getting stuff and what they're not getting. And we start to break down it. And through that, we start to develop, okay, in our mindset, what could benefit this patient? What sort of supplementations are they possibly lacking? What can we do to help them? What issues do they already have? And what can we do to help? Cholesterol medication, statin medication. When I see patients on statins, most of them aren't taking a coenzyme Q10 supplement. And as you know, when you have a statin, it inhibits the HMG-CoA reductase enzyme, which also makes CoQ10,
right,
which aids your body in producing energy. So a lot of them feel lethargic, and I look at their medications, and I'm saying, okay, it's not because you're not getting enough sleep. Let's try this supplement, and we'll see how this helps with you. And a lot of times, majority of the time, it does help them just with that. And that's just some of the little things we do. And again, looking at their lifestyle, and maybe they're not getting enough sleep. You know, maybe that's what's going on. But we do a lot of immune system supplements and things like that. Some cataplex things, which are, it's individual basis, and I can't just give a blanket.
Right.
Okay, this is what we do for a patient, because it's different. Everybody's a little bit different.
Everyone's different. Everybody's lifestyle's different.
Absolutely.
And we're finding more and more people are B12 deficient because
absolutely.
There's medications,
yep,
such as a lot of people use proton pump inhibitors like Prevacid, Prilosec. It decreases your B12 absorption. And also people who are diabetics on metformin.
Oh, yeah.
It also decreases your B12 absorption. So, you know, all these, vitamin D,
mm-hmm,
that's a lot of information is coming out.
It's very interesting that people are low in vitamin D in Florida, isn't it?
Yes,
yep,
many
with
people,
all that sun,
and also associated with people who have diabetes or prediabetes or metabolic syndrome,
mm-hmm,
have vitamin D. So all this is very, very important.
Very important.
Very important. And you were saying, so tell me also about exercising.
Well,
you work with the team, you said,
yes,
right?
I do a lot of work with the team. I go through and I'm at their practice. I was there all summer long helping them out and make, you know, just making sure if they have little injuries, okay, go here, get this looked at, do this, you're okay. I do a lot of their physicals and things like that. But just exercise as a whole, when you get back to exercise, there was a recent study released with back pain and different treatments of how to help it. And chiropractic came out very good. Chiropractic with exercise was like 74-75% effective when treating back pain. Exercise by itself was 50% effective. Just people going and staying active and moving. And again, that gets back down to just our lifestyles. Americans,
right,
as a whole are not healthy. Just as a whole altogether, we're not a healthy country. We spend more money than any other country, actually more than the next six most industrialized countries above us combined in healthcare, and we rank 38th in the world. So as a whole, America's not that healthy. And does it come down to our medical doctors not being that great and our education not being that great? I don't think so. I think it comes down to people not taking responsibility for their own health, and that's where we come in. And a lot of times it's just they don't know. They just don't know. They think they're doing something healthy, and really they're not. So,
right, that's correct. I think I've always said on my program here that knowledge is power. It's not my, you know, that's an old saying, But it really is true.
If you
really understand what is it you're doing, what are you eating, so many people who, for example, I have a lot of diabetics or patients come in and they're new patients and I diagnose them with diabetes and they say, well, geez, I never eat anything with sugar. Well, maybe they don't eat sugar, but we have to understand that a carbohydrate turns into sugar.
Bread, pasta,
rice,
yep,
corn, you know.
And then when do they eat and what do they eat? Some of them are like,
well,
I don't eat that much, but at one time a day, I load up on all this pasta and I eat this huge meal and a bunch of carbs, and that just creates a sugar spike in their system, and it predetermines that or makes them more susceptible to having type 2 diabetes down the line if they keep doing that.
And the exercise is so important, and moving your body. And you're right about in our country, we have excellent health care. But if someone doesn't take care of themselves,
there's not much you can do.
That's the most important thing. And I, through this program, I feel that with people understanding more and more a better way to take care of themselves, they can avoid so many problems.
Absolutely.
Down the line. I have a prevention center, preventing heart attack, stroke, diabetes. We can do so much. So you're already working with young little kids. Excuse me, I shouldn't have said that. When I was growing up, I thought the high school...
You were pretty old.
No, I thought the high schoolers when I was a kid were the gods of the earth,
it's a
right?
It's a little different looking back.
Yeah, and now I say, gee, people in high school are young.
Yeah.
And...
But yeah, it's a good thing, and definitely every person has the power to make themselves healthy. So many people want to treat symptoms, and they wait until they have an issue before they actually take strides to make themselves healthy. Nobody feels a heart attack coming on. It's not like you feel your arteries clogging and your heart feel them clogging, and then you're like, man, I might have a heart attack. I should go get this checked out. You don't go until you get a heart attack. And
right.
So you don't feel that happen. And the same thing happens with in my field, and it happens in your field. It happens in all medical care. People want to wait for symptoms. Don't wait for the symptoms. Take care of yourself now so you don't have the symptoms. So you don't have stuff come on. Preventative, be wellness, be healthy. And people just don't want to do it a lot of times.
It's true. And I always make an analogy to your car. I mean, nobody wants to break down in the middle of the night on a lonely road. Nobody wants that.
So you take care of it.
So you make sure that your car is tuned up. It has the oil. So is that not the same for your body?
It's the same thing. And I always use the analogy of a mechanic and his tools. Okay, mechanic makes his money off of his tools. A lot of people in America make their money with their body. It's your tool. You don't see a mechanic taking his tool after he gets done with it and just chucking it on the ground. He puts it away and cleans it up and puts it away.
Right, that's true.
And he takes care of his tools because those are what provides for his family. Your body is what provides for you. Take care of it. Just because you can't see what's going on the inside, don't abuse it.
So do you have a program? Do you try to help patients? And like one of the hardest things is quit smoking for patients.
We do not have a quit smoking program. No, we don't. Okay. Obviously, we encourage it as much as possible.
Right.
We will work with the patients as much as possible. I've gotten numerous patients to quit smoking by just by just badgering them, I want to say. But no, we don't have a quit smoking, a protocol or anything like that. But we obviously see what kind of things it can do to a patient, and we try to keep them away from it as much as possible. But
I think that's so important because if they've done studies that even if you just mention every time you see the patient, because some people say, well, you know, what's the point of me telling somebody to quit smoking? Well, no, there is a point. You need to, like you said, badger them.
That's a bad word to use. But,
yes.
But it's, you got to keep reminding them, keep them on it. And eventually the patient will themselves say, I want to better myself. And I want to be healthier. And they'll make the decision themselves. Nobody can make a decision for a patient. Nobody can make the patient or any person do anything. They have to want to do it themselves. And that's where it all comes down to is when you finally do they break down to say, okay, I'm going to quit smoking because I want to see my grandkids graduate high school, or I want to actually see my kids graduate high school at some points. So, yeah, it's something you have to definitely stay on them about. And we don't have a certain protocol about it, no, but we definitely recognize the issues there.
I know a lot of issues, too, that patients complain about is knees.
Knees? We have a lot of patients with knees. Well, every patient has knees, but a lot of patients have knee issues.
But, thank God we have knees. Yeah.
But, no, a lot of times, I've actually had some success treating a lot of knee patients. If it's something that we can treat, a lot of times they've worn the knee down so much that we really just can't do too much. And at that point, we'll make the appropriate referral. But a lot of times knee pain in younger people and in high school people and in, people in their mid-30s, 40s, 50s, if they have a good, healthy knee joint, the knee pain actually comes from old meniscal injuries, or it comes from actually muscle imbalances between the quadricep and the calf, and it creates a torquing effect. And we can go into that later.
Okay,
but
we have a caller. Hi, caller.
Good morning, everybody. I would like to know the phone number for the gentleman, the chiropractor, please.
Yes.
It is 941.
Yes.
258. 3550.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, caller. And why don't you give us again where you're located and your website, too?
Our office is Coastal Chiropractic, and we're located right in Murdoch Circle at 18350 Murdoch Circle, Suite 103 here in Port Charlotte. And our phone number is 941-258-3550. And if you want to check us out online, our website is mycoastalchiro.com.
And for everybody also, you said you have a partner.
I do. Dr. Matthew DePhillips. He is from the greater Port Charlotte area. He's married and lives now in Inglewood with his wife, Courtney, has three little kids, Gavin, Macon, and Lane, who are all at home sick right now. And I'm sure he's listening in, but we wish them well. But yes, he's from Port Charlotte. He's been practicing here for about 5 years and a great partner to have. And he's just a great chiropractic physician. And I'm lucky to know him and work with him. So.
And you said your family lives in the area, too?
They do. My father is Rod Girdwood. He works for Calusa Bank, actually up in Venice. And my mother is back and forth between Michigan and Florida. So she's here about half the year and up there about half the year. But, yep, they both live down here. My little sister graduated from Northport High School, and she lives out in Warner University, south of Lake Wales.
Okay, and this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana from the Triana Prevention Center. If you'd like to give us a call, our phone number is 941-625-1990. And I want to thank you all for listening to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. And I want to thank our wonderful guest, Dr. Corey Girdwood. This has been great.
It was a great time. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much. This has been great. Hope you can come back again.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody. God bless.